All right, here we go. A new season is upon us. This is our fifth season of doing this for y'all, people that listen or take notes or whatever. It's our fifth season, so like I said, we're getting ready for another year. Obviously, the big matchup's coming on Sunday. It's what we call Reunion Sunday. And that's what we'll say on Sunday, Reunion Sunday, because there's many, many teams that will be seeing and players that will be seeing their old folks and be in their old houses once again, bringing back memories for the fans that they gave or they pissed off over the years. But obviously, we're getting ready for a season. Tomorrow, the Bills and the Rams, we will preview that game at the end. It's our annual awards show to start the season, these Wednesdays that we will be covering every Wednesday until February's Super Bowl. So, like I said, without further ado, let's get into it. Like I said, our Rookie of the Year, Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year is to start the dance.
We're going to start off with one of the big boy awards.
We got to start at the bottom, basically. The defense, you know, because MVP is going to be our last. So offensive and defensive rookie of the year, we're going to start right with that.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. I got a couple bonus awards for you, too. I'll throw out at you at the end, too. But offensive rookie of the year, you know, usually the quarterbacks have the advantage in like MVP and offensive rookie of the year type voting, but outside of Kenny Pickett, there's not that much a quarterback that is expected to get a lot of playing time this year. And you know, Pickett's looked good, but I don't have him up there. So I'm taking quarterback out. Tight end is out because there's no great tight end this year anyway. But it's typically a position that takes a couple of years to get going. Running backs, you know, you could go with Breece Hall, but he's going to be in a timeshare with Michael Carter. Ken Walker is the next talented running back in the draft. He's injured and in a timeshare. Damian Pierce has been making noise in preseason. He's a guy that to keep an eye on. And then there's a couple other guys possibly, but those are the three big possibilities. But I think it's going to be a receiver. And I don't think it's going to be a first-round receiver either, man. The first-round receivers, there's a lot of talent, but there's a lot of question marks. And I'm not a big fan of Drake London, not a fan of Treylon Burks. Jameson Williams is out till at least halfway through the season. And Garrett Wilson has issues with his quarterback. And I like Chris Olave. That's the only first-round receiver that I like for this award. But I'm going with my boy, guy I've been talking up forever, the guy who's been made a ton of noise in the preseason and training camp, and I'm going all the way down to the fourth round with Romeo Dubs.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, on the offensive side of the ball, it's harder to figure out, you know? It's going to be difficult to see, you know, it's going to take a little while for this class to show up. It's not one of the stronger classes. I mean, it bookends 21 and 23. But obviously, you know, there has to be an offensive winner. I'm sure there's a lot of chances. There's a lot of good talent in here. Obviously, quarterback, there's only one, and that's Kenny Pickett. But he's not going to start until midway through the season. And then you have a few others. But I'm probably going to go with the safe bet. I mean, Chris Olave is one of the top receivers. Like I said, Jameson Williams is out for a while, so Olave will be playing week one on Sunday, and he should lead all rookies in receiving yards. Not by default, but it is what it is, you know? So I'm going to go with...
He's my number, my second pick.
Well, I'm going to go with Olave there just because it's a safe bet. It's a safe bet.
Yeah.
All right, your defensive rookie of the year.
Defensive side, I mean, there's a lot of potential here, man. There's a ton. This was a loaded draft on defense, so you can go a number of ways here. The defensive linemen, I mean, stacks are big in the NFL, you know, when you're talking about awards. So the defensive linemen right off the bat, there's a ton of them. We got some linebackers here. Even safety, you got an early safety to your boys over there in Baltimore with Kyle Hamilton. But I'm going to go cornerback, and I got two guys I was really high on. One guy shot up the draft boards. The other guy, I didn't think he got enough love, and that was Kyer Elam. He ended up going to the Bills, which, ironically, back in 2017, there was a guy that a cornerback that I was really high on in a deep cornerback draft, and yeah, that was Trey White, and he, I didn't think he got anywhere close to as much love as he should have gotten with from the scouts either. So they might have gotten another Trey White, but I'm going with the top cornerback in this draft, Ahmad Gardner. I mean, he's been dominant in college. In the preseason, he didn't even allow a reception. So, I mean, he's in a system also that's really well coached from a defensive perspective, you know, Robert Saleh. So, yeah, Ahmad Gardner.
Like I said, there's a lot of these defensive guys, and, you know, it's pretty obvious you look at each of the positions. I mean, there's so many deep positions. Like I said, corner was obviously deep. Safety was very deep. But I feel like there's a guy that we know very well, and we're going to get to know very well here in Philly, that has a chip on his shoulder. And he still has a chip on his shoulder because we haven't heard much from him so far in preseason. But he is the best linebacker in this draft. You know it as much as I do. And he fell into the third round because of injury alerts. But I have a feeling that Kobe Dean's going to be a guy that you're going to hear a lot of as the season goes on. And I feel like if the Eagles' defense is what we think it's going to be, one of the best in the league, that linebacker position is going to have to show up. And I think that Kobe Dean will extract himself very, very, very quickly once he gets reps and starts soon. So to me, he'll be a star by the end of the year, but he's going to have it. I'm going to go on a limb and say he gets 5 sacks this year. And I think in a tough defensive situation, I think he comes out looking like the future and the best at his position right away of all the rookies. So I'm going with N'Kobe Dean. I'm going to go on a limb there.
Yeah, I like him too, man. I like him too. But, you know, I think he's going to be used more in a rotation role for at least the first half of the season. And I wouldn't quite proclaim him as the best linebacker in the draft yet, because Devin Lloyd might have something to say about that, you know.
Yeah, but we know we have a stud. And obviously don't count out Jordan Davis for a guy that already has Reggie White late 80s potential in people mindsets, because to me, you know, Fletcher Cox, he obviously is a legend here in Philly, you know, with a future Hall of Fame, potentially a future Hall of Famer. Hey, Jordan Davis right away, he's there, you know, he's there. So, you know, he could be
Jordan Davis is going to be a beast, but, you know, he's in a deep rotation here at defensive tackle. So, you know, with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave, I think they're going to use him more on running downs, which means, you know, he probably won't get the stats to match up to Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. All right. Offensive and defensive player of the year.
Okay. Going to go defensive player of the year first. And I'm going with Nick Bosa, San Francisco. Had 15.5 sacks last year. He's now, he's primed for another huge season. And, you know, last year's guy, TJ Watt, he could be in the mix too. Obviously, he had an insane year last year with, like, what was it, 22.5 sacks? You know? But I'm going with Bosa here.
As much as I hate to tell everybody this, but I really think Micah Parsons is that guy. I mean, he really, really came on, obviously won Defensive Rookie of the Year last year, and he's just a beast. He's hard to come down, And he's going to be the only reason why Dallas is a contender this year. To me, if Dallas has any chance, he's got to be that guy. Because Dak's not going to carry this team. Their offense is not good enough. Defensively, they were very good last year. But then again, if you don't have Micah Parsons out there, this is a team that obviously they probably don't go very. The Eagles probably would have won the division last year. So basically, Dallas knows that they got very lucky in getting Micah Parsons last year, and he's done a hell of a job. And he's done a hell of a job in keeping and making Dallas relevant defensively again. So hate to tell you this, but I'm going with Micah. Going with number 11 from Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad pick, but to me, I think he's gonna have a little bit of growing pains this year, man. I think that Dallas line, D-line, is weak. They lost Randy Gregory. DeMarcus Lawrence is in his 30s now and obviously on the downside of his career. I think when you're talking about how teams game plan, they're going to be double and possibly even triple teaming Micah Parsons, and he's going to have to learn how to beat that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it wasn't like every game he was a standout. When Dallas lost, he barely showed up at all. So, yeah, with a weaker Dallas team this year, it's going to be difficult to see if he can actually stand out. But if Dallas is going to be in the playoff mix, which I believe we both agree they probably will be, he's got to be there, and he's got to be their guy. So, all right. So, who's your offensive player of the year?
Offensive player of the year is also my pick for comeback player of the year. So I'll just throw them both at you at the same time. That's Derrick Henry. You know, he was an animal last year for the first half of the season, broke his foot, didn't come back until the first game of the playoffs, and he clearly was still injured. He's back to 100%. You hear people on these fantasy football podcasts and all that, they're talking him down. As if he's on, you know, they're saying he's too old and he might get injured again. I mean, give me a break. This guy's been durable his whole career. I think he's going for 2,000 yards.
Well, I have to see. Well, guess what? He's in the same division. Hey, he's going to be the guy that took the reins of top runner. I'm going with Jonathan Taylor. Like I said, I've always been in love with him from Wisconsin. He's that prototypical back that's going to have a hell of a career. That's going to put up 1,000 yards every year, maybe 2,000 yards. Like I said, last year he was very, very important to Indy's success. And obviously, like I said, if it wasn't for Carson Wentz, this team would have been in the postseason, and God knows how far they could have went. Because this Colts team, they're loaded this year. And obviously, he's got a great line behind him. And to me, I just think that, you know, who knows? Who the hell knows? But, yeah, Jonathan Taylor, it's his time, you know. We'll see who's the best runner in the league, because they both raise in the same division. So Jonathan Taylor is my offensive player of the year.
Okay.
All right, no, where am I going? You already said your comeback player of the year is Derrick Henry. So, all right, I'll go on a limb here. I mean, like I said, last year it was tough. He got injured and everything else, so I'm going to go. My comeback player of the year is Lamar Jackson. Why not? The Ravens are expected to get back into the hunt and be in the mix for the postseason. Obviously, like I said, it's kind of hard to put him as comeback player of the year. He played most of the season. To be the comeback player of the year, you basically have to have missed at least minimum 5 or 6 games in a very critical part of the season. But obviously, he missed the last 4 or 5 games last year, and the team struggled and didn't win. So obviously, he has a chip on his shoulder. And this is a Ravens team that obviously is going to be in the mix this year again, like they always are. So I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson just to be on the safe side there, but I'm sure there'll be other comeback player of the year contenders as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe Christian McCaffrey. Who knows?
Well, I mean, he's a name that is possible if he stays healthy. You know, there's a lot of guys that got injured last year that got a shot at it.
Yeah. All right. Coach of the year.
All right. Well, this one, you can call me a homer if you want, but I'm going with Nick Sirianni, man. I think this team is poised to win the division, win possibly as many as 12 games this year. If they win 12 games, they'll be in the hunt for the number one seed in the NFC. And if they're that good, he's going to be right up at the top of the list for Coach of the Year. And, you know, a team like the Bills with the number one seed or the Bucks or someone like that, you know, they're expected to be in the number one seed, so their coaches aren't going to get Coach of the Year. But if Sirianni can coach this team to number one or number two seed in the playoffs, I think he's going to be right in the hunt there. So, yeah, Nick Sirianni.
You know, I'm going to go on a limb here. You know, yeah, Nick Sirianni would obviously be one that would get it if the Eagles do so surprise. But a lot of people are not. They believe the Eagles are going to be very good. Most people believe they are going to be good. They don't think they're on the level of a Green Bay, Tampa Bay, or the Rams yet. But then again, we'll see. I'm going to go with the Chargers head coach, and I'll be honest with you. If they make the playoffs, this is a team that can go very far. And I'm going to go with, I forgot his name. You know his name.
Yeah. The defense coordinator from the Rams. Now I'm blanking on the name, too.
Yeah, I don't have my computer here. I'm forgotten monitor, you know.
Brandon Staley.
Brandon Staley. I think, to me, when you're in a division and as tough as that division is, the West, I'm pretty much believing in my belief that this is a team that can make the playoffs, should make the playoffs, and we'll see what happens. So I'm definitely going to go with the ideal situation from a very dominant division that the AFC West has the chance to be. And Brandon Staley wins Coach of the Year.
Yeah, and my thing with that division is I think all four teams are really good and they're going to beat up on each other. So it's going to be, I don't know that anyone's going to have like a great record.
Yeah, but we'll see. All right, I mean, where we go? Where what we have left here? I mean, we got all these other awards. I think we've covered most of them. League MVP. I think we've reached that. We've reached that moment. League MVP.
Yeah, well, this one, I mean, there's obviously a lot of players. I'm not going to give this part away, but one, I got a bold prediction here that if that comes true, then this player would probably be the MVP. But I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, man. He was an MVP caliber player with the Seahawks, and this was a team that they're basically their head coach didn't even care about offense. They had no offensive line. All they wanted to do was run the ball. Now he's going to a team that has everything he could ask for. You know, he's got the receivers, he's got the line, he's got a running game. I don't think he's a good head coach, but he's got a good head coach that is an offensive-minded guy that's going to look to pass the ball. I think he's going to put up big numbers, and I'm going with Russell Wilson.
Well, I'm going to go with the easy choice. I'm going to go with Big Game Josh. I mean, why not? This could be a very magical year for Buffalo Bills fans, and, you know, this is a guy that plays his ass off as good as anybody in this league, and you know, this year, I mean, it's Super Bowl or bust for the Bills, but most people are looking at Josh Allen as the guy. He's basically the guy, so why not?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so you said you have other bonus awards.
There's still a couple of them. Like, I got three of them here. I'll throw them at you quick. They're just for fun, but, you know, I named them after players based upon the players that probably would have won the award last year. So, first one, Breakout Player of the Year, a.k.a. the Cooper Kupp Award.
Breakout Player. Oh, boy. It has to be on a team that actually is in contention.
That could be anybody. Just somebody who's going to have like a breakout season where they go from being like good to elite.
Good to elite. Well, yeah, Cooper Kupp obviously took that leap last year. I could say Ja'Marr Chase, but he's already there. So, I mean, he probably would have won it anyway last, you know, but. Oh, God sakes. Who would I? Damn. It's going to take a little bit. You go first.
Yeah.
You go first.
Yeah, I go first. Yeah. So, I'm sticking with Denver here with this one. And it's a wide receiver that has a, in my opinion, very similar situation to Cooper Kupp last year. You know, he played with bad quarterbacks his whole career and has been productive the whole time whenever healthy. He has had some injury issues in the past, but he's not injury prone. He did tear his ACL a couple years ago, but he's got a new quarterback that's going to help him raise his game to the next level, and that's Cortland Sutton. I think he's going to have a monster year this year.
You know what? I just thought about it. That it's another Bills player. It's going to be, you know, they're getting a lot of love here.
What,
but
say, man?
I it's a receiver. He had a dominant game in the playoffs. There's no doubt that he did what he had to do to keep the Chiefs the Bills in it. But I'm going to go with Gabriel Davis. I think that if the Bills looking for success, I mean, obviously Stephon Diggs is out there, but Gabriel Davis really raised the bar. And he's going to be a name you're going to hear a lot from this year. I expect him to be right up there in the top five potentially in receiving yards this year. I think he's going to have a monster year, so I'm going to go with Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, he's one that I like too, man. I like that pick. I'm expecting a big year out of him. When you look at his production that he's had in the limited amount of time that he's played, I mean, it's otherworldly, man. He's just been – it's insane, so – now he's going to be playing as a full-time wide receiver. So, yeah, I like that one. Here's one. I can go first if you want to think about it for a minute, but this is the Carson Wentz Award for the bust of the year.
Oh, boy. We can go along a lot of places here. Bust of the year. I'll go first because I think, you know, there's a lot of potential in there. I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. I think that, you know, like I said, Tennessee, yeah, they could make the playoffs just based on the fact that they have Derrick Henry and an easy schedule and four easy wins if Jacksonville's as bad as we think they are, because we know Houston will be. But Tannehill is starting to falter. He didn't play well at times last year. And to me, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, I'm going to put him very responsible for it. I just think that, you know, there's a shelf life with him. When you think about quarterbacks, there's a shelf life. And his time is coming up here. You know, he's now 33 years old or something. He's getting up there. This is, what, his 11th season. So, you know, he's had injuries in the past. But I think the best we've seen the best from him. I don't think I think he's gonna fall off this year. I really do. So he's my bust of the year.
Okay. I'm going with a guy who gets a lot of love ever since he was drafted, and I'm not a fan of him. Never have been. As I said that year in the draft, that he was a bust, and I think this year is going to be a tough one for him. That's Justin Fields, man. I mean, he's on a team in the Bears there with one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL, one of the worst receiving groups in the NFL. David Montgomery, he can handle a heavy workload, but he's at best an average running back. You know, he's got one of the worst supporting stats in the entire NFL. So I see a rough year for Justin Fields this year, man.
Another would be Mac Jones, just because he doesn't have an offensive guy helping him. You know, he doesn't have an offensive voice helping him. So, unfortunately, he would be an honorable mention. But I'm going to go with Tannehill just because.
They have Matt Patricia calling the plays.
Like I said, it's pathetic. It's ridiculous. I'm like, why? Come on, Belichick. You're smart in that. You can get an offensive guy in here.
That's just as bad as the Eagles making Juan Castillo their defensive coordinator.
I think it's worse because Castillo actually was good at his old job. Even Patricia wasn't even good at being a head coach. You know, he sucks. He's not a motivator. He's just a kiss ass to Belichick, like most of them are.
Yeah, I know, right? Whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, but I think they'll run a very conservative scheme and hope he's protected.
Yeah, but I still don't trust them because they're not deep offensively. They haven't been, you know, they haven't been even when Brady was still there last couple of years. Yeah. So
they do have a nice group of running backs, though. I'll give them that.
I mean, Jacoby Myers is kind of a guy that could. You know, he's one of my favorites because of his name, the law firm, as I call him. But at the end of the day, there's not much they can do. They didn't upgrade, you know, of all the teams in that division, they didn't upgrade at all. So it's very hard to say that that's going to work. But to me, if this team is really struggling and Patricia's responsible, then, you know, unfortunately, it looks bad.
Yeah, I know.
But Tannehill would be my first.
I don't know if you're going to be able to come up with a name here because this is sort of like an oddball one. But I just thought this player needed to get his name mentioned from last year. So I wanted to give this one out. Call it the Old Man River Award. It's for AKA the Cordell Patterson Award. Basically a guy who everybody thought was finished and is going to come from out of nowhere and have a huge season. And it's kind of an odd award that you might not. I don't know if you'll be able to come up with anybody. But.
Oh yeah, it's easy. That's another easy one. You think it? I don't know. Like I said, if the Colts are a sleeper team in the AFC, Matt Ryan's gonna revive his career. To me, he could be comeback player of the year too potentially because he didn't do much in Atlanta last year and he hasn't done much the last couple of years. So. I look at Matt Ryan, this is like his last chance at relevancy, you know, and at this point, you know, if this team can win 12 games this year potentially, and like I said, he's got Jonathan Taylor, he's got a great back. Like I said, as much as I might not be a big fan of Matt Ryan, I think he still has some juice left in that tank. To at least put it together a decent season. So I think, yeah, Matt Ryan would get that award.
Okay, yeah, he was the first name that came to mind when I thought of this, but I went deep down here. And this is any of you that play fantasy here, especially if you're more so if you're in a points per reception league. But I went all the way down to Amir Abdullah. The running back that used to be on the Lions, he's now on the Raiders. We haven't heard from him in years, but Josh McDaniels is out down there as the head coach, planning on somewhat running a Patriots-style offense, and apparently Amir Abdullah is going to be the new James White, and that's in their system. So, you know, he could get a lot of receptions and a lot of, like, sort of goal line targets like we've seen out of James White, and he could be a guy that just comes from out of nowhere, just like Cordarrelle Patterson last year.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. All right, you got any more? Or so we go to
no,
our
that
next
was
one.
It.
All right, we're going to do some things a little different. Now, obviously, we don't have to go through the records and predictions like that. We're not going to do that here. So we're going to go through the eight divisions, and you're going to give me everyone a division champion. Obviously, we already have our like we do on Sundays, our unanimous picks for games, we already have a few unanimous picks for division champs. Obviously, in both the AFC and the NFC East, we have both the Eagles and the Bills winning that division. So those are already out, already there. So, I mean, so let's see. We got to get some more here. All right, so we're going to continue on, move on to the AFC and the NFC South. So pick your division winners from there.
All right, so AFC South, I'm going to go with Indianapolis. I mean, that division's a joke, but, you know, Tennessee maybe has a shot, but who knows, man. I don't think Tennessee's not bad, but like you said, I'm not too thrilled with Tannehill this year, and I think that's going to be their downfall. So the Colts and NFC South is easy. That's the Bucs. The only other team with a shot is the Saints. And I mean, let's face it, Jameis Winston isn't going to lead his team to a better record than Tom Brady.
Yeah, I agree with you with both of those. I think the Colts will obviously, they're the better team than Tennessee at this point. Like I said, I think that Tennessee could miss the playoffs. I'm predicting that. So, you know, one team gets out of that division. So we're going to go with Colts and the Bucks. Like I said, I mean, the Saints are the only team that can take them. And obviously they can take them in the regular season, but they have to win their share of games. And we're going to see how good the Saints are come week two when these two teams meet, because that's going to tell us a lot about them. It's not going to tell us a lot about them on Sunday because they're playing the Falcons. But, yeah. All right.
I mean, if the Saints had a better quarterback, they'd be in the hunt for the Super Bowl, man. I mean, they got a lot of receivers, so they got a top-notch defense. It's just Jameis Winston is Jameis Winston.
Yeah, you got to trust his instinct. All right, your AFC and NFC North winners.
Okay, so AFC North, I mean, really all four teams have a shot. I went with Cincinnati, though. They obviously were in the Super Bowl last year and almost won it. There's the possibility of a hangover this year. You know, we know teams that lost the Super Bowl a lot of years tend to come back and not have good seasons, but I think they'll be focused, and they improved that offensive line big time. So with that improved offensive line, the sky's the limit for Joe Burrow.
NFC
Man,
North.
Oh, yeah, the NFC North. This one's easy. Green Bay. Again, this division's awful. The only team with any shot is Minnesota, and you're talking about the loser, that quarterback there. So, yeah. Green Bay, easy.
Well, I'm going to go on my limb. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I mean, my heart's there, and I feel like, you know, this team's going to be much better defensively because they were not very good defensively last year, and that's why they struggled down the stretch because their defense wasn't very good. But I think that with the moves they've made to get better, much healthier, with Kyle Hamilton, and that's another name I didn't mention. I didn't think about Rookie of the Year. He's going to have a good rookie season because he's got a lot of talent. But then again, you're just looking at this team. I just think that Lamar's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. And like I said, I mean, the Bengals are going to be very good. Don't get me wrong. But to think that this team's going to do exactly what they did last year, it's going to be harder. You know, it's going to be harder to do. So, I mean, Cincinnati's a team that probably does make the playoffs, I think. But I just think they're a wild card team now at this point in my prediction. So we're going to go with Baltimore there. And then Green Bay's going to easily win the North. I mean, the Vikings could win on Sunday, possibly. That's going to be a tough matchup. But at the end of the day, they're obviously not as good long-term because your boy Kirk Cousins and company. So I'm going to obviously go with the Pack. But I don't think the Packers are going to be the one seed this year. I don't. So we'll get to that here in a moment as well. So, all right, our last two divisions, and this one is going to be interesting because we're probably going to be going in different directions here. The NFC and AFC West.
Okay, I'll do the NFC West first because the AFC West is they got an interesting take on this division and one of my bold predictions also. I'll start with the NFC West and man, obviously Seattle sucks. They're out. Arizona, they tend to get off to the hot starts, but like I said before, I don't think Kyler Murray wants it bad enough and he tends to get injured a lot, and they fade down the stretch. The Niners, they could be a Super Bowl team, but they got a young quarterback there in Trey Lance. He's going to have his throwing games. And then the Rams are one of the best, most talented teams in the NFL, but could they have the Super Bowl hangover? Not to mention all the talk in the preseason about Matt Stafford has elbow tendonitis really bad, and, you know, we'll see how he looks tomorrow, but... I got to go with the Rams just because of the uncertainty with the other teams. So, Rams. And then, the AFC West. So, my take on this is these teams are going to beat up on each other, and we're only going to get two playoff teams. I know you've mentioned possibly even four, but three. I don't think you're going to get to that point. These teams are all going to, going to fight each other, and it's going to be a tough division. That being said, one of my bold predictions this year is the Chiefs. I got them finishing last in the division.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they're due for a bad year, man. I mean, they've had some injuries in the past few seasons, but when you look at them compared to other teams, they've been super lucky with injuries. Sooner or later, that's going to come back to bite you. At some point, every team has a bad year, and I just think that this is going to be their year. They lost Tyreek Hill. Those are the receivers they brought in. They brought in three talented receivers, but even all three combined don't have the same effect on a game as Tyreek Hill, and that's going to hurt. So that's my bold prediction, but in terms of the division winner, with them out of the picture, I got to go with Denver. I already got Russell Wilson as my league MVP. If he's going to win MVP, they're going to have to be one of the best teams in the league. So, Denver.
You know, it's funny. I actually agree with you. You know, I took my bets, and my bet, one of them was Denver. I feel like the Chiefs are going to finally, they're going to have to give up this division, give up the Rock. I mean, obviously, like I said, they got lucky last year because of their history and their success that they had, you know, but last year was such a topsy-turvy year. They got off to a slow start and then, you know, their experience helped them, but things are going to be tougher this year. Things are going to be much tougher this year when you're in a division as tough as the West is, and they are going to be very tough. So, but I don't think the Chiefs are going to fall to last. I don't think they're going to drop off as much as you would think. But I'm going to go with Broncos because obviously, if Russell Wilson can do what he's got to do, we'll see, you know. But obviously, the West, I agree with you again. We agree too much. We got to stop that. But I'm going to go with the Rams as well because, like I said, we already know the Seahawks are done. The Cardinals, questions everywhere. You know, like I said, Trey Lance, we don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be. I mean, there's a lot of pride and stuff, but remember, they didn't get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's allegedly bugged by that. He's bothered by that. So, you know, either that's going to be motivation or it's going to cause some rift. So, we'll see what happens there. But the Rams are the defending champs, and they should repeat as Western champs. So, pretty much there. All right. Your 7 playoff teams in both conferences. This is difficult. More difficult than anything else we've done tonight. Your 7 playoff teams.
All right. Well, we've already named the division winner. So, do you want me to just name them again, real quick?
Whatever you like. Whatever you like.
Yeah, on the AFC side. Yeah, okay. On the AFC side, I got Buffalo, Cincinnati, Denver, Indianapolis. Okay. So the wild card teams, we can only have 3. There's a lot that could be in the mix here. I'm going with the 5th seed here being Baltimore. I think they're going to be good, too. I think Cincinnati's just going to edge them out in the division. But I got Baltimore as the top wild card seed. The 6th seed, I got Miami getting in. I'm not a big fan of Tua. I've said that many times. I've said it forever. But, I mean, adding Tyreek Hill to go along with Jalen Waddle, they're going to mask a lot of his deficiencies. And they do have a top-notch defense down there. So, Miami's my 6th seed. 7th seed, like I said, I think there's only going to be 2 AFC West teams. I already talked about 2 of them. That just leaves the Chargers and Raiders. I'm going with the Raiders in a tiebreaker. Chargers are the team that has the talent between the 2 of them. The Chargers, talent-wise, are up there with the best of the best. But forever, even when Phillip Rivers was there, you know, they lose. They lose close games, and they do it consistently. And until that changes, I can't go with them. So I got the Raiders. You want me to give the NFC, or you want to give AFC, and then?
Yeah, you can go with the NFC.
All right. So division winners in the NFC, obviously Eagles, Bucks, Packers, Rams, and then we got the 3 wild card seeds. NFC is a lot weaker than the AFC, but I'm going with the 5th seed here as New Orleans. Like I said, they got a top of the line defense, really good receivers. They'll be good enough to get into be a wild card seed. They might not make a run with Jameis Winston, but you know the team has so much talent around him. They'll make some noise. Next one is going with the Niners here. Like I said, Trey Lance is going to have a lot of growing pains. And like you said, they did bring back Jimmy Garoppolo. So, you know, they're not going to hesitate to throw Jimmy G in there if Lance struggles. So if that happens, all of a sudden the Niners become a much scarier team for this year anyway. So I got the Niners there as the 6th seed. And then the 7th seed, this one might surprise you because I talk shit on their quarterback all the time, but I'm going to put the Vikings in there. I think they'll sneak in. Their defense isn't good. Their offensive line isn't good, but they got some receivers. I'm not including Jalen Reagor. He's a bum, but, you know, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, you know, the same guys that they've had. They also have a great running game, and their head coach, he's actually the guy that's going to look to pass the ball, and he's going to have a good scheme. You know, he comes from the Sean McVay scheme. He knows how to score points. So, they'll sneak in there on the 7th seed.
All right. For the NFC, like I said, and I'll do it from number 1 to number 7. So, the number 1 seed, pretty much, I'm going to go with the Rams at the 1 seed. I think that, you know, they're still very good. But I'm going to actually have the Eagles at number 2. I have the Eagles at number 2. I'm going to have the Bucks at number 3 and the Packers at number 4. Because the Packers are not winning 13. They're going to probably only win 11 this year. For my wild card, Oh, boy. I'm glad San Francisco at number 5. I just think that, like you said, this division, this conference is not that good, great. It's not that deep, so they should be able to get in with no issues, unlike last year. My sixth seed. All right, my sixth seed. You know, it could be anybody here, pretty much. But I'll probably go with Minnesota. I think Minnesota's going to be at least safe enough to get in. And I think they'll do enough. And I hate to tell you this, but I think Dallas gets in as the seventh seed. I think that they, you know, if Micah Parsons is my defensive player of the year, then Dallas is going to win a lot tougher games than you would think. Now, Dallas is not going to get off to a very good start because their first three or four games are pretty rough. I mean, their first two games at home are against Tampa Bay and Cincinnati. So if they get off the bat 0-2, that's going to be a problem. But they may have to just deal with it because their schedule will get much easier at one point. You know, they play the Giants on a Monday night, so they'll be fine long term, but short term, early start is going to be tough. So, but I think Dallas will be there. So obviously the Bills will be the one seed in the AFC. I have Ravens at 2, Colts at 3, and Broncos at 4. Cincinnati will be the 5th seed. I think that, you know, their O-line's great and all that, but I just think that defensively there's question marks and that could be a problem. And they're not going to dominate this division like they did a year ago. They went 4-2. Basically, if you take away the Browns, they were undefeated, but they're not beating the Ravens twice this time. Not if this team is motivated. Miami's going to be in the playoffs, so they're going to be the 6th seed. I agree with you there. I just think that there's no excuses. They're too talented to not be playing past January 8th. I think they're going to their health. I think they're a team that can even threaten to go to the divisional round. That's how talented this team is. And then the 7th, and if I'm picking, like I said, like Dallas, if I'm picking Staley to be coach of the year, guess what? The Chargers are going to get in on a tiebreaker over the Chiefs. You know, you're absolutely right. It's tough to think that this AFC West is going to take everybody to the playoffs or even, you know, even 4. So at the end of the day, if Justin Herbert doesn't make the playoffs this year, there's going to be major, major confidence issues, and he's not going to want to deal with that. I mean, he's a franchise quarterback, and franchise quarterbacks should make the playoffs easily, with ease, most of the time. But this team always, it just, like I said, if it's their time, it's their time. So we'll see. But I could be wrong. I didn't even put my full predictions out. That will be on Facebook tomorrow. All right. So we've covered all the basics here, but we have one more prediction. Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, February 12th. Which two teams gets to Glendale?
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you just quick the two teams in each conference in the conference championship and then the Super Bowl. AFC side, I got Denver versus Buffalo. Denver versus Buffalo. Buffalo being the number one seed in the playoffs. And on the NFC side, I got a rematch of last year's first round playoff matchup in the Bucs versus Eagles coming down here to Tampa. Bucs are going to be the number one seed. And, you know what? My other bold prediction, because we're on the Eagles, I always do one for the Eagles. And this is where I said, if this prediction comes true, this guy could end up with be the MVP. But I think it's possible. And that's I'm making a prediction that Jalen Hurts is going to become the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 4,000 yards and run for 1,000.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. We're running short on time, so I can't really go into detail. But that's the bold prediction. So, those are my final four and Super Bowl matchup. This is the exact same Super Bowl matchup that I picked last year, and I got them completely wrong, even though they were both on the verge. I got the Bucks versus the Bills. And once again, like I always say, I don't pick against my boy Tom Brady. Last year in the NFL, he wants to go out a champion, and if he wants to do it, he's going to do it, man. So the Bucks win the Super Bowl.
Well, if you want me to pick conference championship games in the AFC, it's going to be Ravens and Bills, and I have the Bills winning, unfortunately, because they're just on a different level. On the NFC side, I actually have the Rams against the Eagles. You know, the top, once again, 1-2. And like I said, I know the Eagles are, you know, but it's not yet their time yet. They're going to really have a great year, and they're going to do a lot of good things. They're going to give a lot of people excitement, including us, as the season goes on, potentially as a potential they can get to Glendale. But they're already going to play in Glendale already once. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I got the Rams and the Bills starting the season, and we're about to predict that game, and they're finished the season. And once again, Bills win Super Bowl. This is their year. It's their time. I just think that they're too good, and, you know, Rams are what they are. So it is what it is. All right. So now we've covered all the basics. This is not the look back, but this is Wednesday. It's like the look back, but we're going to go on and predict our first game of the season. So here we go. Bills and Rams, it's a major deal. It's a big deal. It may not be a deal at all. These two teams, like I said, a team that should have been in the Super Bowl last year versus a team that won it all. And they will open the season. So the big deal is, also, this is Mike Tirico's time. He's now the host of Sunday Night Football over Al Michaels. Al Michaels is now doing streaming on Amazon Prime if you're worried about where he's at. Also, Chris Collins works everybody's favorite. And Melissa Stark has taken Michelle Tafoya's place as the person on the field. So that's the new changes. So to this matchup, big matchup here with a lot to think about, if this first matchup will be the last matchup of this NFL season 2022. So go right ahead, make your first prediction of this season of many games.
All right, well, obviously the Rams are going to be coming into this game with a lot of energy. I mean, first game since the Super Bowl, they'll be getting the Super Bowl rings, you know, the whole deal, and the crowd's going to be pumped. So, right off the bat, it's tough. It's always tough to predict against the Super Bowl champion coming into that first game. But the Bills, they are probably the best team in the NFL. So, you know, if anyone's going to stop them, it could be Buffalo. Buffalo does have a couple little question marks here. I mean, we'll see how their new offensive coordinator does, Ken Dorsey. You know, they lost Brian Daboll to the Giants. So we'll see what kind of system he has. You know, until we see it, it's a question mark. They also have a question mark there in the secondary, you know. Trey White, he's going to be out for at least the first month of the season. They're going to need the first-round rookie, my boy Kyler Elam, to step up big time right off the bat. I think he's up to the challenge. He's looked good in the preseason. He's looked good in training camp. I think he's up to the challenge, and I think Josh McDaniels he's a smart defensive coach. He'll put together a good scheme. And it helps that they have former Ram on the team, Von Miller, going after the quarterback, especially since the Rams don't have a good offensive line. Speaking of offensive lines, the Bills' offensive line versus that tough Rams defensive front is a key matchup in this game. You know, the Bills did bring in Roger Saffold to help solidify that line. That it was a bit inconsistent last year. So if they can fix that line problem, they don't have any holes. On the other side, the Rams, like I said, they'll come in off the Super Bowl victory. And one other thing that makes them tough to bet against in the first week of the season is the fact that they haven't lost a season opener under McVay. As a matter of fact, they haven't even had a losing record at any point since McVay took over as head coach. So, you know, it's tough to bet against them at all. But I am worried about Matt Stafford's elbow issue. You know, he hasn't practiced at all in camp or done anything in the preseason games. If his elbow is healthy, he still could come into this game and be inconsistent, and he's known to turn the ball over. So I'm a little bit worried about that, and because of that, I think the Bills are going to go into L.A. and pull off the upset and spoil their celebration. So I'm going to pick the Bills here. Big game for Josh Allen. Like you said, big game for Gabe Davis, and Bills pull it off. Final score,
30-23. Wasn't Roger Saffold a Ram at one time?
He might have been. He was on the Titans.
Yeah, I know he was on the Titans, but I keep thinking he was on the Rams too at one point. He's a veteran player. He's been around a while. But anyway.
Well, he might have been.
But anyway, like I said, this is what we call reunion Sunday, even though this game is on a Thursday. Von Miller is going to get his ring, his second ring, but he's not a Ram no more. He's a Buffalo Bill, and he's going to lead that defense. And obviously, like I said, this is going to be an interesting matchup. These are two teams that have a lot of expectations, and the question is, will they finish the season fighting each other for the Lombardi Trophy? And and my predictions say yeah, but like I said, we've got a long way to go. So, but this is going to be interesting. This is the first of, what, 272 games or something of the regular season. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens right away. Like I said, the Rams, this should be interesting. They're going to be hype and exciting. They could use that momentum in the crowd to get them right away in the first early in the game, and they could get off to a quick lead. Wouldn't be surprising if the Rams get off to a quick lead, but this Buffalo Bills team is so lethal. It's going to be tough to deal with, and you know, as this game goes on, it's going to be tough for the Rams to hang on. I just think this Bills team is very, very built to be any team at anywhere, and there's not many teams like that we're going to see in this league. So I think that big game Josh will live up to his name that I gave him. And like I said, Gabriel Davis will have a big game. They'll run the ball very well too. And I have the Bills winning this game pretty comfortably. So Buffalo's going to start their what could be a magical run. And the final score, 35-25. So that's our first episode Wednesday, but like I said, join us on Sunday, the first of many Sundays. Well, we may have some changes, but, you know, early in the season because there's a few things going on. But we will be here Sunday. We will preview the rest of the NFL, the rest of the teams, all the other 30 teams. Obviously, a lot to digest and get into. Like I said, you know, next Wednesday is the look back and the full-time debut on the look back of Kwame. And I'm sure, you like I said, you already heard of him from last year. He's going to be on the mic, and it's going to be fun to listen to. So we have all that to look forward to, but join Matt and I on Sunday to preview Week 1, Reunion Sunday, and Opening Sunday. Have a good night.
Good, man.